Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Bienvenidos. Estamos agradecidos que estén aquí en el servicio hoy domingo en la Iglesia College Mennonite o a través de los diferentes medios de tecnología. Nos reunimos para juntos adorar al Dios que hizo el cielo, la tierra y todo lo que está en ellos y los guarda para siempre. Good morning and welcome. That felt a little strange, didn't it? We are grateful that you are joining us in today's Sunday service at College Mennonite Church or through the different methods of technology. We gather to worship together the God who created the heavens, the earth, and everything that is in it and forever cares for it. Please join me in prayer based on Nehemiah 9:6. You alone are the Lord, creator of the heavens and all the stars, creator of the earth and those who live on it, creator of the ocean and all its creatures. You are the source of life, praised by the stars that fill the heavens. We gather here in this place to worship you. We pray that you receive our worship, that you look into our hearts and know that we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join me. If you're able to stand, please stand in the call to worship. We who gather this morning are intricately connected with all people of the world through our Creator. Estamos conectados a otros a través de Dios el Creador. We come to worship our Creator. Venimos a adorar a nuestro Creador. Con la tierra, along with all the earth, we cry out for the saving power of Jesus Christ. Clamamos a Jesucristo a que nos salve. We come to see Jesus Christ. Venimos a ver a Jesucristo. We want to be animated by the Holy Spirit, animados por el Espíritu Santo, to seek justice for the earth and all its people. Buscamos la justicia para la tierra y para todas las personas. We come to breathe in the Holy Spirit. Venimos a respirar el Espíritu Santo. Please join us singing Great is the Lord in the blue hymnal number 87.
Number 87, Great is the Lord.
Thank you.
The next song we are to sing is Levanto Mis Manos. We've worked on this a little bit in pre-service, singing. And I've invited Felipe Merino to join me as we sing this. But we want you to sing with us. And we will sing it in Spanish, then English, and then return to the Spanish. And Felipe has a few words. I should say also that you may know that Anne-Marie Weaver, our music director, is compiling a list of heart songs, songs that speak to our hearts, songs that we like to hear, that we like to sing, and that are really worshipful for us. And so this is one of those that she learned from the Embajadores class when she visited them. So, Felipe.
Thank you, Eric. Levanto mis manos means I lift up my hands. In the Bible, Moses would lift his hands to heaven and the people of God would win battles. We don't like to talk about battles here. When his hands went down, the enemy would start to win. But when those hands went back up, the victory was imminent. For many immigrants, this song has become a reminder that God is a source of their strength and that he will never forsake them. Many live in the shadows and go about their lives quietly so as to not be noticed. But I was at the southern border for 1 week earlier this year and personally saw hundreds of women and children who had been locked up in cages like animals prior to seeing me. Dozens of them were followers of Christ who told me that their faith is the only way that they survived. But did you know that there are people in our very own congregation who went through that, but have chosen to raise their hands to heaven and draw strength from Almighty God like Moses did, instead of becoming bitter? So if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling sad, if you need God's power to intervene in your life today, or if you're just plain tired like I am, and you want God to intervene in our country, then worship with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength. If we can ask all of you to stand up, please.
Thank you, Eric and Felipe, for leading us. Thank you, Felipe. That was words from the heart, I know. That shows us, that was truly beautiful, huh? That we can do this. We really can. This moment, I'm going to pray the prayers of the people. If you would please join me in prayer. Lord, you hear the words that are spoken by some of the people in our government. We know that these are not words that please your heart, because you created us all equal, and you did not create boundaries for your humanity. I ask you that you please continue to work in those people that are in our leadership, that you continue to minister to their hearts, to open their ears and their minds when they hear the words of people like Felipe, people from who have DACA status, people who are immigrants coming into this nation seeking refuge, seeking help, seeking a place of peace, a place of wellness for themselves and their families. I ask you, Lord, that you please hear our prayers. I ask you for those persons who work at the border trying to uphold the laws of this nation, that you would work in their hearts so that they may treat people with dignity and justice. I ask you that you give our leaders the wisdom to write up words that are appropriate so that we may truly be a nation of justice. That our immigration system somehow is repaired so that we may give the opportunity for those who are wanting to come into this country to be able to. I also pray for those people who are in these detention centers. I know that people are suffering there. I pray for the children. I pray for the parents. I pray for the adults that are being held in these places. I pray that these families that have been separated, these children who, as young as 2, 3, 4 weeks old, that have been taken from their parents, be reunited with their parents. I pray for justice, Lord. We, your people, pray for justice. I also pray for our world. Migration is happening everywhere because of injustice, because of corrupt governments. We need redemption, and we need it badly. Have mercy on your people, Lord. I thank you for people such as a very good friend of mine who picked up a group of young men and gave them food and blankets and showers because they had been abandoned in the desert. And I thank you because although Border Patrol arrested her, they also let her go. I pray for more people like her who are willing to stand up with courage and go against the current. I thank you for them. At this time, I would like to thank you for Eva Rice Smucker, who underwent surgery and a portion of his kidney was removed. I thank you because the surgery went well, because he is at home, he is recuperating well. I continue to pray that you give him strength and that he becomes well altogether. And I pray for good results for whatever testing they are doing. I also pray for Elaine Schertz, Daniel's wife, who is recovering at home following hip replacement surgery. I ask you to be with her and give her the strength that she needs to be able to get up and move around. I also pray for Arlene Klassen, as he recovers from heart bypass surgery earlier this week. And also for Sylvia Jackson, as she recovers from leg surgery. Give these people, Lord, the strength that they need and the healing that their bodies need. We are also thankful for Caleb Ganowan and his family who are home from a time of treatment for Caleb in New York. Father, we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At this time, I invite Megan and the children to come to the circle as we sing in your Sing the Story hymnal, You Are Holy, number 34.
Number 34, and Sing the Story, You Are Holy.
Everybody, I am here for part two of what we talked about last week, and if you missed last week, I'm going to review a little bit so you know what we're talking about. I brought this kind of different looking globe, and just to show us where we're at. Okay, we're here in North America, and we are down here by the Great Lakes, and we're in Goshen, Indiana. Okay, and this is where we're at on the globe. And I was just trying to think, we've been trying to think of things to do lately because the weather's been so hot and dry, and what do we want to do? And we've been watching movies. How many of you watched a movie this week? Has anybody watched one at home or maybe gone to the movie theater? Have you seen maybe Toy Story 4 that's come out? Or, yeah, there's some good ones. Well, it takes a while, a good portion of our day to watch a movie, doesn't it? It takes about maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours. And when we're done, it's lots of fun to do that, but it feels like we've been sitting for a long time. So now I'm gonna go around our globe and we're gonna go across the Atlantic Ocean over here to Africa. And then we're gonna look, here's Ethiopia and Mozambique. Okay, and you talked about these two countries last week, and they have trouble getting water. And so instead of watching a movie or two to pass the time, they spend that much time, 2 to 4 hours, which would be 1 to 2 movies, they spend that much time moving water to their house in a day. They have to walk, they have to travel, they have to probably make multiple trips to get all of this water that they need. So we talked last week about wanting to raise some money to make this easier for them so that we can think about ways to help them. So in a little bit, you guys are gonna help me and we're gonna collect the money from the congregation. But one thing we're also doing is we're gonna send a card. Now we're gonna decorate the card, the front of it together, but inside the card, I wrote a little note to MCC. And I said, thank you for helping us donate to Mozambique and Ethiopia and their water project. We care and would like to help the people in these places have more opportunities for water. Thank you for your time and energy that makes this happen. With our love and prayers, College Mennonite Church. So what I'm gonna have you guys do is I brought in some paint and we are gonna make fingerprints, okay? And we're going to make it blue. What could our blue fingerprints maybe look like? If we put a bunch of them on this paper. Water, right. So our fingerprints are gonna represent the water that we want to donate and help them get. So I'm gonna have you come up one at a time and I'm gonna put a little bit of paint on just one of your fingers. So just hold out one of your fingers to me and then you can put it anywhere, your fingerprint on this page to show that you're doing your part and helping collect this money, okay? Now, while we do that, so we're still talking a little bit, I'm gonna have you think of ways that we use water, okay? We take water for granted. Thinking this morning about doing this children's time, I saw all the ways that I used water, and I thought, wow, I really take a lot of this for granted because it's so easy for me to get. So as you come up, I want some of you to raise your hand and think about what are some ways that we use water. Okay, do you girls want to start coming up? Who can give me a way that we use water? Think about your morning.
To drink.
To drink. How many of you had some water to drink today? Yeah. And we knew that it was clean, fresh water, didn't we? Just anywhere on the page. What's another way? Jasmine? Do you have a way that we use water too?
To wash our hands.
Yeah, to wash our hands. And that might be important after this, isn't it? And girls, I have a washcloth you can wipe off. All right. Miles, you want to come up? How else can I use water?
To make tea.
To make tea. You're right. There are a lot of drinks and cooking that we make. It's not even water, but we use water to get it, don't we? Okay, come on up. What's another way to use water? Give your finger. Showering. After these hot, sweaty days, we need showers and baths, don't we? Okay, go ahead and wipe it off there. What else? Think about when we get it out of the faucet. Come on up. Can I have a finger?
What if swimming in a pool?
Yeah, we fill whole pools with water, don't we? Thank you. And so we can't even imagine how much water that would be, right? Baylor? Sprinkler systems, if we're lucky. Some of us have big brown spots on our lawns right now. But we use water just to water our lawn. Okay, somebody else.
We can use water for
water for squirt guns. We use water for just fun things, don't we? To brush our teeth. We do that at night, don't we? And probably in the morning. Oh, you guys are doing such a good job. Okay, who hasn't done... Do you guys want to come up with your fingers? Do you have an idea for water? Oh, slip and slides. See, we're all thinking of these fun, cool things to do with the heat that we've had.
What? Like little
glass. Oh, yeah, those two. Uh-huh. And so we think of water as being fun, but I am thinking that the people that we're trying to raise money for think of water as something that they need for the bathing, the cooking, the drinking. There's all kinds of things that we need water for, and we want to make sure that they have that when we can just have it for fun. How many of you have been watering plants in your garden? It's probably something that they have to do too, because they need that food, and we have to make sure that we have that food to survive. So we've got to plant those gardens. Okay, is there anybody else that I missed? Here you go. You want to come on up? Yep. You'll be our last one. All right, so now we have lots of water drops. Anywhere on the page. All right. You can use this. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go in the congregation and we're going to use the buddy system. And I am going to have you find somebody to go with. And it can be a brother or sister if you've got one here. And we're going to go up and down the different aisles. So I'm going to hand you a cup and we're going to fill this with money for water. Yep, Baylor and Xavier, you get the special job at the balcony. We're not going to leave you guys out. And everybody, if you could try to flag down one of the kids to come. As soon as you have somebody, you two are going to go together? Okay. And you and Miles could go together, and you guys could go together. Okay. All right. So now here's what we're going to do. I am going to say a quick prayer before we go. A quick blessing. Oh, boys and girls, can you come back up here real quick? Okay. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we'll sing our closing song. And as we sing our song, then you guys can go out and get our money. Okay? All right. Here's our quick prayer. Dear God, thank you for our time together today. Thank you that we can be helpful and to look for others in ways to get things that they need that we often take for granted. Please be with us and help us to be generous and caring and loving in our weeks to come. Amen. All right, so I will send you guys off. When you're done, you'll bring the cups back up to me and then you can get your worship bags, okay?
As the children return, let us sing in the hymnal number 366, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Today's preacher will be my husband, David Maldonado. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for David. I thank you for his life, and I especially thank you that he is the love of my life. I ask this morning that the words that you have placed in his heart and in his mind, that he is able to share them and that they are deposited in every one of our hearts and our minds. Let him speak clearly, as he always does, and let us really get the message that you want us to acquire. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Mitchell.
That'll send me on my way. I want to talk about creation groans. Then I want to share a Native American prayer with you. And then I want to close with creation hopes. So I'm going to start out a little dark, but I'm going to finish on a bright light. I'm reading from Romans chapter 8. Verse 18 to verse 22. I'm reading from the New International Version. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Verse 18, Paul presents humanity as present suffering, our current condition. All humanity is currently suffering one way or another. Then Paul turns his attention and speaks about creation as if he's speaking about a person. He gives creation a personality. He doesn't speak about creation and he doesn't refer to it as trees or the animal kingdom or et cetera, et cetera. He talks about creation as if he's referring to another person. And he presents these qualities about creation. We find these starting in verse 19 all the way through verse 22. He talks about creation being in a state of frustration. He says creation is under subjection. It's being subjected to something. He says creation is under bondage. And this bondage is to decay. And he also compares creation as a woman when she's giving birth, groaning. So these are the qualities in which creation currently exists. When I read this, I ask myself, why is creation suffering? Why is it suffering? Why is creation groaning? What's causing it to groan? What's the root cause of this? Or who's the cause of this? What or who is causing creation to suffer? Now I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to Genesis. In Genesis account, I observe the following. Earth's purpose is life. Purpose for Earth has to do with animal life, aquatic life, plant life, and human life. So when God created, he created knowing who the occupants were going to be. And what was the role of Earth for these occupants? And it's life. Everything was created to benefit humanity, us, humans. We're the crown of creation. So things were designed and created for us, to benefit us. Everything was created to provide and sustain the life of the occupants. And it was the responsibility of Earth to provide and sustain that life. Creation care was ordained by God to Adam. So God ordained Adam to care for creation. So creation cares for Adam. Adam cares for creation. Creation in its original state was to serve life. So I see this servant relationship. There's this relationship between Earth and its inhabitants, and the inhabitants and Earth. Somewhere along the line of human history, I think through generations, somehow this got lost. That as creation cares for me, I ought to care for creation. And somewhere along the line, it got forgotten. And what does justice have to do with creation? Last week I read a verse where God loves justice and righteousness, and then the psalmist turns around and starts talking about creation. Justice has to do with just take what you need. You don't need more than what you need. An elderly gentleman years ago sat with me and told me, if you have too much, somebody doesn't have enough because you've taken more than you need. So creation and justice has to do with take what you need, don't take more than you need, and try to give back. You take a tree, you plant a tree. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. Put something back. So we've had generation after generation after generation after generation after generation just taking, 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 taking. We did not, in the United States, you wouldn't find storages until the 80s, the late 80s. Storages did not exist in the United States until the late 80s. Storages are a revelation of how much we have that we really don't need, that we just store it and we pay storage fees. So take what you need, put something back, because someone else is coming along the path of humanity and they're going to need to live off of this earth. So I see that in Genesis. Now, coming back to Romans, Romans presents a simultaneous suffering. We have humans and creation are both in a state of frustration. Humans and creation are both living in subjection, in bondage to decay. We're talking about an intricate, delicate relationship, interdependency. I need earth, and earth needs me. So there's this relationship, whether I want to believe it or not, there's this relationship. And it seems that in the way that humanity has rebelled against God, it seems to me that creation is also rebelling against us. Humanity rebels against God. And it seems that that same attitude creation has taken upon us. It was meant to serve us. It was meant to take care of us. That's its duty. It has a servant attitude towards us. It has an attitude of consciousness towards us. Towards me, my children, my grandchildren. Earth understands I need to provide. But it seems that in the way that humans rebel towards God, it almost seems like creation is taking on that same attitude. It seems to be rebelling against us. Why? Why do I say this? I think we go from one extreme to another. California had, what, years without rain? And then all of a sudden, it rains so much, they have flooding. It goes from one extreme to another, from not enough to too much. There's a lot of conversation around the theme of global warming. There's a lot of debate on that. I'm not getting into that mud. But something's happening. We see that soil is unfertile. Farmers know more about that than I would. It seems like hundreds of years ago, soil was fertile. Now we have to inject a variety of chemicals into soil to get it to give us a potato. And if that doesn't work, we have some lab rats with doing GMO. Why do we have to go to GMO? Something's happening. Creation groans. It's hurting. Now I want to read, because it seems to be that Native Americans understood this relationship between human and earth. And I want to read this prayer. It's entitled Great Spirit. The author's unknown, but it just captured the essence of what I understand and why what I want to share with you this morning. It reads as follows. Great Spirit, give us hearts to understand, never to take from creation's beauty more than we give, never to destroy wantonly for the furtherance of greed, never to deny to give our hands for the building of earth's beauty, never to take from her what we cannot use. Give us hearts to understand that to destroy earth's music is to create confusion, that to wreck her appearance is to blind us to beauty, that to callously pollute her fragrance is to make a house of stench, that as we care for her, she will care for us. We have forgotten who we are. We have sought only our own security. We have exploited simply for our own ends. We have distorted our knowledge. We have abused our power. Great Spirit, whose dry lands thirst, help us to find the way to refresh your lands. Great Spirit, whose waters are choked with debris and pollution, help us to find the way to cleanse your waters. Great Spirit, whose beautiful earth grows ugly with misuse, help us to find the way to restore beauty to our handiwork. Great Spirit, whose creatures are being destroyed, help us to find the way to replenish them. Great Spirit, whose gifts to us are being lost in selfishness and corruption, help us to find the way to restore our humanity. But things don't stay there. I see also in Romans verse 18 and 19, creation hopes. I read, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Verse 18, after Paul talked about our human suffering, he doesn't leave it there. Because the gospel does not just shed light on our current condition. The gospel sheds light on our future. So Paul makes reference to the glory that will be revealed. So there is a glory that is going to occur to those who have been redeemed, to those who have believed, to those who follow Christ. There is a glory that awaits each and every one of those individuals. But the glory isn't just for the children of God. It's not just for the redeemed. God concerns himself of all his creation. And God is very much interested in earth. And he has a promise for earth. And the Bible says in verse 19, creation waits in eager expectation. Now follow this. Creation has a hope. Creation has a hope. Creation has an expectancy. Creation knows that something is going to happen and it's going to liberate it from its current condition. That is pretty awesome. Christ's redemptive work includes the redemption of creation from human abuse. I confess that I have abused the resources given to me. And daily, I try to be conscious, and I am thankful that my daughter helps me with this, Alice. And so we work. And last week I had conversations with a few of you. You shared your feelings towards me with me about things you're trying to do. I can't fix everything wrong down here. But I have influence over what I use. And if I just be a good steward of that, and if each and everyone here is a good steward of just that, and we all do our part, things change. Things do change. Slowly, but surely. And we give this teaching to our children and our grandchildren, and hopefully they'll do a better job than I did. Can we say amen to that? It's interesting, and I close with this, that creation has this knowledge, accepts this knowledge, seems to confess this knowledge. Oh, creation might be Mennonite. It likes to confess. And creation waits patiently. So while we wait for our redemption and the redemption of earth, let us just be good stewards. May the Lord bless you.
In response, let's turn to number 54, number 54, Longing for Light, and sing The Journey. And I invite you, if you are able, to stand.
Thank you.
it is time for us to give to the Lord of our finances. The children and ushers will assist those who prefer not to get out of their pews. I also remind you that the back black booklets that are to the right of your benches, if you can fill them out, those are the friendship booklets. Let's move the basket.
Father, thank you for your many blessings, multiple blessings we receive daily and weekly and monthly. And we give back some of the abundance you give us. Bless it for the ministry of this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is in the hymnal of worship book, number 546, Guide My Feet.
Thank you.
I send you off with a benediction that was given by one of Mennonite Mission Network's DORD members. Go out into the world in peace, and may the Spirit of the living God made known to us in Jesus Christ go before you to show you the way. Go above you to watch over you. Go beside you to be your companion. Go behind you to push you into those places you may not go on your own. And may that same Spirit dwell within you to remind you that you are loved more deeply than you can possibly imagine. Extend God's peace and welcome to those you pass by, leaving this place and in the hallway. Blessings to you.